Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Mauban et al. Titled, A Method for Non-Invasive Longitudinal Measurements of Calcium in Small Arteries and Arterioles of Hypertensive Optical Biosensor Mice. This article published in our July 15, 2014 issue. My guests today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, Lead Author Gil Weir, and Expert Mark Nelson. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. In this innovative methodology manuscript, the authors report on a new approach to study vascular smooth muscle cell calcium signaling in vivo by taking advantage of animals that are genetically modified to express one of two different calcium-detecting molecules. The novel aspect of this methodology paper is the ability to measure intracellular levels of calcium non-invasively in the same animal over a period of several weeks. Now, to measure vascular smooth muscle cell calcium, they ingeniously immobilize a mouse ear to allow measurement of cellular signaling in the arteries beneath the skin surface. Although similar in vivo approaches with two-photon confocal microscopy have been used previously, this was the first study to use a FRET-based ratiometric measure to calculate actual intracellular calcium levels in vascular cells inside a living animal over a period of days. The authors went on to evaluate disease-induced changes in vascular signaling in the same arteries during the onset and reversal of hypertension and to compare two different calcium detector molecules. Previously, it's only been possible to take measures in arteries removed from animals, these so-called cross-sectional ex vivo preparations. So this is a step forward technically, opening new possibilities for evaluating changes in calcium signaling over the course of disease development. So Gil, could you talk to us a little bit and tell us what you think are the most important advantages of each of the two different approaches that you used in this study?
Yes. The FRET-based measurement using the XMLCK biosensor mice is, of course, ratiometric. And so this is the key to the quantification and nulling out the effects of, to some extent, of movement of the artery, other changes that might be present in experiments done on different days. The XMLCK mice, for example, we will never be able to observe calcium sparks in these vessels in vivo because the kinetics of the indicator just don't permit it.
I think that sort of describes advantages and disadvantages of each of those two methods. And I know, Mark, you've been using similar approaches for a while now, too. And I wonder if you could comment on these different approaches and maybe follow up with questions that you have for Gil over this current study.
One is a beautiful study, Gil, and I would like to first reinforce his approach and philosophy that it's very important to be able to look at changes in vivo of key elements over time in the same animal. And I really applaud him for making a big step forward in this approach. But as Gil pointed out, we really don't have information on the absolute levels of calcium, because we're looking at rather rapid events reflecting calcium entry through single ion channels that happen in small spatial areas, it hasn't been a problem. But there's inherent issues with that because of you need to have enough of the indicator expressed to be able to see it. With our particular experiments with GCAMP2 and the endothelium, it's been very difficult because of autofluorescence to get enough of a signal to see it, for example, in a brain slice. And we are now moving, like Gil, to a ratiometric approaches by fusing a newer generation of GCAMP5, which is a bit brighter, with another protein called mCherry that doesn't fluoresce in changes of calcium. So we can also do ratiometric measurements in smooth muscle cells over time. So I think this will become a very powerful approach. I think the key will be to also to have not only a ratiometric biosensor in the cell type of interest, but to really have one that's bright enough and as fast as possible to be able to look at the relevant calcium signals over time. And that's definitely, as Gil would, I'm sure, reinforce, a challenge to get some of these biosensors to do things that are to work really fast because they're based on protein unfolding. At least with the GCAMP2, they're just too slow for calcium sparks, as an example. So I'll leave it there, but I think we're well on the way, and I think there'll be a lot of exciting things that'll be learned about physiology and pathophysiology.
So it sounds as if we're on the brink of moving these new biosensors forward to making them maybe more accessible to multiple users. And I was wondering, this is a very technically sophisticated approach and really elegant work. How difficult would it be for a laboratory to set up a system like this? Is this ever going to be an out-of-the-box type approach that could be used by maybe less techno-savvy investigators? Or will this be something that will be moved forward only by laboratories that are able to engineer and create some of these same methods themselves?
If you have the multiphoton microscope and you have the transgenic animal that expresses a bright sensor, then I think the technique is really not so difficult.
I think if you have the animals, which are, for us, it's done in collaboration with Mike Kutlikoff at Cornell University, and he has actually a resource grant, and animals will be made available to other people. And if you have the instrumentation, in some ways, it's easier than trying to load your tissue in vivo or ex vivo with the fluorescent dyes, which have a lot of problems from loading multiple cells to photo bleaching, phototoxicity. So I think if once one has a setup going, one should be able to do better measurements, longer measurements, and with greater ease than many of the fluorescent dyes.
This is really exciting. It seems that potentially these biosensors could even be incorporated into organelles so that you could get intra-organellar measurements in ways that are very difficult with the dyes.
Yes, absolutely. So there are dozens or hundreds of FRET biosensors that are used to sense, you know, everything from cyclic AMP, diacyl glycerol, IP3, many signaling systems, protein-protein interactions, and there's no fundamental reason that if these sensors are expressed in an animal that they could not be imaged and signals quantified in this way.
Yeah, I agree with Gil. I mean, I think it's really opening up a lot of doors, and I think we're going to see a lot of really brilliant work come out when you start having truly integrative physiology and pathophysiology where you can monitor key elements in real time in different cell types or even different organelles, as you pointed out, Nan.
In these studies, Gil, you use the mouse ear, which has advantages being, you know, transparent tissue that allows microscopic examination, but has some disadvantages because of its temperature regulation function. Are there other vascular beds that might be amenable to this approach that might be a little more representative of resistance vasculature?
We're not limited to the ear at all. These methods can and are being extended to cerebral vessels being observed beneath the surgically implanted glass chronic cranial window.
Yeah, we've started doing these experiments, and they seem to, as others have done in looking at neuronal function for quite a while, and it seems to work quite well, and the animals are happy, and they can put their 10K in a day, which I become very jealous of, and you avoid all the complications of anesthesia, not only complicating the measurements, but also, you know, sometimes it inadvertently ends the experiment too. So I think that will be the way to go in the future, and I think a lot of very important information will be obtained about cerebral vascular function in health and disease. The combination of approaches will be very powerful for giving insights in the early steps of disease progression that we haven't been able to do before, and also less costly and using fewer animals.
So it sounds like in so many ways, this is really a step forward to what will be the way of the future for doing some vascular studies. Why don't we move now into some closing comments? Mark, why don't you go first and tell us how you see the future, the next step of what's going to be going on with these imaging methods?
Well, I think that we're already taking the next steps, having brighter ratiometric biosensors in different cell types in the vasculature, in particular is what we're interested in. Having wavelength shifted biosensors so you can get away from intrinsic autofluorescence that happens, for example, in the brain, and to be able to really look at the time course of a progression of a disease at early time points where you may be able to detect things at a very precise point in time. So I think all these things are going to provide tremendous insights into particularly long-term diseases. I mean, as Gil mentioned, hypertension is something that evolves over a lifetime, and small vessel disease, which I mentioned, the same sort of thing. So I think there's enormous potential, but having different sensors in different cell types that are wavelength shifted, so that will be another important advance, and as bright as possible too.
Gil, do you want to end with maybe putting in a plug? I understand that you have a symposium at Experimental Biology 2015 in this area.
Yes, we do. There, at Experimental Biology, there will be a symposium which was intended to bring together the people who are using these methods, and that will include those who have been, whose emphasis has been a little bit different from what we're talking about today, who have been using the methods to study blood flow, for example, rather than signal transduction in smooth muscle cells and others. So we hope this will be a symposium that will bring together a rather different group than has been brought together in the past, that will highlight these methodologies for everyone.
So there you have it. Imaging methods are certainly a rapidly changing area, and I look forward to this new era of studies using FRET-based sensors to examine intracellular signaling in conscious intact animals, doing repeat measurements in the same animals over a period of weeks. So thank you both for a really stimulating discussion on this breakthrough report of new ways to study vascular physiology and disease. And like our listeners, I will look forward to an update on this at Experimental Biology 2015 in Boston.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.